Hey Tiff.
Yeah.
I was wondering what's so I know like we're separated right now. We both sort of have our separate meetings going on. I was just wondering what's going on in your meeting right now. You and the gals, what's going on?
Oh, me and the gals, we're talking about shoes and clothes and bull riding.
Oh,
bull riding. Why bull did I say riding. That?
Bull riding.
I was trying to think of something really manly to throw in there. And it turned out terrible.
You know what's odd is that we aren't talking at all about bull riding. Like, we've all got our shirts sort of unbuttoned, you know, just going for that very sailorly look. We're talking about pizza.
Girls like pizza.
And how after we spend time with our significant others, we have to take them to church on Sunday, and like gas isn't free.
Yeah, gas isn't free. That's what I hear.
So yeah, we're learning a lot in the guys' rap session, and I hope you're learning a lot in the gals' rap session. Of bull
riding.
We all
know that it's so different. I mean, it is, but it's very frustrating. This whole episode's frustrating.
This is season 2. It's episode 15. It's boys and girls, and it is separation. That is quite interesting, and I think that you're dead on. It's frustrating. What frustrates you about it the most?
It frustrates me because it's like these meetings, especially for women, the whole thing is like a women in the workplace meeting that Jan is running to both support women in the workplace and also to kind of find standout women that would be good for corporate and various things, and just like get a dialogue going about certain things to try and equalize the playing field, for to throw in a sports metaphor, which I'm not sure the ladies understand, but it's one of those things. It's like, it upsets me that it's necessary.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm happy that it's an idea that supports women and tries to advance them in a way. But it is so frustrating because it's like, by separating things, it's showing like this is one way and this is another way. Like, you are different and you can't be thinking the same way and you both think differently. But really, like, you don't think differently, but you do, because you're kind of like trained to think differently, but you shouldn't because you're all people. I don't know. That's why, like, this whole mentality of the boys versus the girls, as we see kind of popping up in this episode, especially like when Marge down in the warehouse, she kind of gets roped into the dudes,
Do you want me to leave?
And so it's like, ooh, what is this really saying, and what's it really helping? And the whole episode really does highlight a lot of the ridiculous notions of what is masculine and feminine. So I like that part about it, but in general, it's frustrating.
I agree with you in terms of the fact that they feel like this has to happen. And I think too, it unfortunately goes to a place that is not at all sort of what I think those sessions are supposed to be about. And that's part of like,
it's not about our changing bodies.
I mean, because Michael basically takes what is supposed to be a legitimate meeting, and then he turns it into what he assumes they're all talking about. And it's not that at all. And so it just ends up being this very kind of cringy thing on both sides, frankly.
Yeah, like, Michael hates being left out. So he, right off the bat, he just becomes a petulant, like, spoil sport about the whole thing, because he's being left out of something which he does not like. It doesn't matter what the reason is, he's upset about that. But I find it funny that the things he will criticize the women for speaking about, like, oh, they're talking about what is it, like, clothes and himself, or something like that. He thinks that they're talking about in the meeting. And the crazy thing is, the meeting kind of goes to that. You know, they're talking about picking up their kids in SUVs and what kind of houses they want and about their husbands and stuff. And it's never about themselves in the meeting. So it's like the whole stereotype of what women talk about, the meeting kind of becomes the stereotype of what women talk about.
Yeah.
And it's all very frustrating. That's the only word I could think of to describe it.
Yeah, it's frustrating, again, like, just all around. Dwight says some stupid stuff that doesn't make any sense and is not based
in fact. Well, actually, that is kind of true. I have to say, Dwight's assumption, well, okay, it doesn't happen that fast, but it totally happens.
Well, there you go, folks. You've heard it here first, perhaps not first.
if anyone knows what we're alluding to. But no, it really does. If a whole group of women spending time together, you all get on the same cycle.
Interesting.
So probably just by being in the same workplace, they are all kind of synced up.
Okay. So I thought that that was supposed to be... Okay, interesting.
I don't know why. Every group of women that I've been friends with, it eventually happens. So. All right.
So then there was some legitimacy to Dwight's concern for once.
I don't know how science-y it is, but it feels legit.
There you go.
Coming from this end over here. Coming from my side of the meeting.
So, yes. You would have more experience in understanding that. So Jan, you know, she's, as you mentioned, she's trying to pick out people that are potentially going to offer more to the company than just sort of their current job. And so they do that by talking through some different things, and they get onto the topic about what they're good at. Pam's, you know, mentions her art, as we said, but we get to a place where Jan is talking about, hey, you know, the company has these graphic design classes, and Pam, being the person that she is at this moment, is a little bit, you know, shaky about that idea. And I think that, you know, we've seen Pam in her humor and in her like pranky ways and in those ways sort of blossom. But in terms of her desire to like better herself or take risks, she's still the same Pam. Like that, it, her transformation hasn't broken into that area of her life yet. And so she's very sort of standoffish, very still sort of hedging everything. And I
think
that's
full of self-doubt.
Yes. A lot of self-doubt, I think.
And the moment when Jan brings up the possible design classes, because Pam admits all of the all the other women are kind of in this flurry of inconsequential personal dreams that they're all talking about. And she actually does break out and say, you know, she joins in and talks about her dreams about a house with a terrace, but she mentions her love of art. And I have to say that that was a little bit of a personal thing for me too. I feel like when Pam was going through this and I was watching it on repeats, and I've seen this episode multiple times, and Jan comes out and says there's always a million reasons not to do something. And especially because it was about art and being creative and being afraid to take that leap to become better at something that is just like a small hobby of yours. It was really personal for me, and it kind of was like one of those moments like, I can't believe that I can look back and see that The Office kind of gave me motivation to change my life in a way. Isn't that really, it's one of those things that it's like, oh, I've known this scene, and now rewatching this episode for the show, I was like, oh wow, this really helped me when I was going through all of this and deciding to like take that leap into like doing more creative stuff and more art and more things and being more assertive at that stuff. So thanks, The Office. Yeah. That was a really special moment for me. That was like a big part of this episode.
That's wonderful. Good job, Jan. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job,
amongst
Pam.
All of the misogynistic thinking and vocabulary that we get to see throughout this episode, a tiny beacon of light and hope and positivity.
We do see this more touching moment as Jan is sort of helping pick up Pam, go on, while we've got Michael down in the warehouse, just sort of ruining everything per usual. I mean, it's not just that he's trying to, because I mean, this is one of those episodes where we see him more so than we usually do, really interact with the film crew and really sort of like step into the frame and like look at the camera from the side and tell them where they should point their cameras and oh, get some of this and get some of that. And like, oh, this is this person, this is that person, get a live shot there, which I find really interesting and funny. But to me, it's more about reminding people that there is a film crew. And I really like that.
Yeah. Michael's really performing in this episode. And he's not only performing for the cameras, which you pointed out, which is definitely a big part of it. I mean, he even says he hasn't been down to the warehouse in months and it's a big part of his job. And he needs to go down there and kind of like be the leader of this meeting that he kind of manifested out of vengeance for the ladies. Like, really, like, I'm going to have my own meeting. Fine, you won't let me in your club. I'm going to make my own club. Like, it's essentially what Michael's doing here. But he's also performing for the warehouse crew and trying to be like their MC. This is definitely one of those episodes, yes, where we see MC Michael. Like, he is the one who's leading the crew and directing the directions and pulling out, you know, like showing off what he can do and what he and what his abilities are and how he's the big boss and he's going to lead everybody. Like, that's why he's just center of attention or trying to be. And it's just not appropriate.
No, I mean, it's not appropriate. And it's it quickly shows how little he knows about what he's doing.
Yes.
He mentions, like you said, that he hasn't been down there in a while. And it becomes very clear in that moment that he hasn't been down there in a while. And we have what is just a funny, funny, funny moment of him, for some reason, thinking that it's okay for him to use the forklift and knocking over an entire shelf of supplies.
We're the ones that got to clean that up.
Oh. We'll get somebody to clean that up.
We're the ones that got to clean that up.
Oh, it's so... there are so many little moments in this episode. There's so many back and forth with your, like... I guess I would call the warehouse with Michael the A plot, and then the meeting with Jan kind of the B plot, because it flips back and forth very quickly. I think more quickly than other episodes. We're seeing the camera cut up and down, essentially, in this office building. We're seeing, like, the meeting with the ladies. We get, like, a few lines in with them, and then we see the havoc that's happening downstairs. And I really like it was a very quick episode, and watching it for the show and taking notes, I had to pause and rewind a lot to, like, remember to look up, because a scene would go by so quickly and I didn't even actually watch it and absorb it, because it was so much flip-flopping back and forth. And there were a couple little nicey nice moments where like, especially when you say that the camera's brought into this episode a lot, like when Toby stays behind from the man meeting, he like,
yes,
dips out and he like goes to the camera, yes, and he just disappears, so he's not even in the episode really anymore. He's just upstairs by himself and probably loving it that he's not being bothered. We have the moment where Dwight looks directly into the camera and is like, remember when they met the others? and it's really close. We have Kelly winking at the camera when she brings up Jan going to second base and playing ignorant that she didn't know what second base was, because when they were talking about the sports metaphors, and she's winking at the camera, and everyone's having these little, I don't know, it's like they're grabbing the spotlight. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh,
like,
I see. There's so everybody many has people, their little moment. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many little people grabbing a moment in the spotlight. I even think Kevin manages to grab one when he's talking about backing up Jim, you know, like,
yes. So. And he like dabs his forehead later. So cute.
But when we go down to the warehouse, it does feel like quite a different world. You see everyone down there working. They're playing all this hip hop, and it's kind of meant to be this stark contrast between the office and the warehouse. And they set it up totally viscerally too.
Yeah. The feel of them are very different. It's more dynamic. It's got, like you said, a lot of noise going on. And it's,
but they all seem to be working, you know, like, yes, upstairs, no one feels like they're working upstairs. Downstairs, they all feel like they're working. They're getting stuff done. They're all independent. They are, you know, moving stuff and they're doing things. It feels like a real work day down there. And upstairs, it's the run out the clock situation.
Right? This here is a run out the clock situation, just like upstairs. It's like, no, you're supposed to be doing things.
Yeah. Cause they have to get shipments out, right? Like it is a kind of a different vibe.
The business would fail if it wasn't for them, you know, shipping out things. And most of the time upstairs, it's sort of servicing clients that they already have. as opposed to, you know, needing to spend every second of every day trying to get new clients. So it is a little bit easier for the people upstairs to rest, I think, than it is for the people downstairs too. Because it wouldn't, nothing would go if it wasn't for them.
And in the midst of all of this, Michael also loves pointing out the differences between upstairs and downstairs. Oh, and he even uses one of my favorite, most disturbingly upsetting catchphrases, which, I am collar blind.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, my God. It's so cringy. It's so cringy, but it's hilarious.
But it's such a good play on words.
I am collar blind.
You call that good, but it's...
it's brilliant. It is. It's a brilliant line.
It's so good. But... everyone is like, ooh.
Yeah, and his faux collar blindness only serves to hurt him because it results in the guys deciding that they should form a union.
Yeah, which is not a good idea, really, for this type of environment. But Michael loves feeling like the hero, so he goes along with it, right? Like, He loves that they lift him up. And we've seen this before and we will see it again. I feel like sometimes I'm creating the same sound bites over and over for our show because Michael is so Michael. And he likes being the center of attention, and he especially likes more when he's the hero. And that's why he doesn't really honestly address this situation that's going on.
No, he's all he cares about is being accepted, being cared about, being the hero, being the person that gets along with the guys in the warehouse. And so in that moment, he's going to be trying to say and do the things that make them happy. But then he comes upstairs to talk to Jan about it. And he sort of has to figure out how to make her happy. But he really handles that the wrong way. He goes completely sexist with everything and is talking to Jan like this, Tiff, it's okay. Everything is fine.
Don't get hysterical.
Don't get hysterical here.
The guys downstairs are thinking about forming a union, and they have some good points.
A union?
Don't get hysterical.
I'm not.
Part of my job is knowing how to talk to women. Let's be rational here.
When he talks to her like that, and especially when he's like, part of my job is knowing how to talk to women, it feels like such trigger phrases for me. Like, don't get hysterical, let's be rational. Like, that just makes me hysterical and irrational. And Jan's frustration at it, I see her addressing Michael like I address my son when he's being irrational and not listening, and it's like, you just do it, just do it, like you're trying to hold it all together and you want to yell but you know you can't. And that's exactly how she's reacting to Michael. And it's like, she's the mom and he's the kid, like, and she's trying to show him what's going on and discipline him. And I really don't even think Michael knew it was a problem if they would unionize or not.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. Like, he clearly has a moment where he's like, oh, whoa, oh dear. But then he jumps on board. And I think that it's just like that in general. You know what I mean? Like the thought of one. And so that is why because he has to know that there's at least something wrong, or else he's not going to go to Jan about it, I think. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
sort of expecting her to handle it. Because that's the other thing, is like, he clearly wants to not be the bad person. So he's coming upstairs to ask her to handle it so that he doesn't have to come across as the bad person. And it's like, no, Michael, you are responsible for this office. This is your office. This is for you to handle. You have to be the bad person.
Although, and he never ends up being the bad person.
No.
But I love when Jan goes down there and she's such a boss, like,
yes. Right
on the stairs to dressing the warehouse. She is perfectly eloquent. She is direct and concise and authoritative. Everyone kind of hates on Jan throughout this episode and other episodes, but man, she was so boss-like. I loved her. I thought she was great. I was like, yes, you go, strong lady. Like, do
yes.
it.
Yes.
You know, she's like stomping down there to this man's world kind of situation, and she just lays it all out, and she's like, this is what's going to go down if you decide to do this. I'm out. Like, she like mic dropped it, basically, and like left. And but she mic dropped it onto Michael.
Yes. She
and
Michael
she's like, if
dropped.
You have any questions, ask Michael. And he's hiding behind like a bucket, a cleaning bucket.
That's one of my favorite moments, is seeing him hiding like, that's Pam, or that's Jan that's doing that, not me. It's like, oh my God, Michael, you just need to get your stuff together.
And for all of his like hyper masculine talk and everything, he just does not back it up with any kind of spine whatsoever. But I think that that kind of shows his vulnerability and how he's not really convinced. Like, he doesn't have the convictions of his words. Like, he might say misogynist things, but he's not like a Todd Packer who believes it and implements it in his life. I feel like Michael says it and it's like, oh, this is the thing that people say, and so he says it. But it's not really who he is. Like, he's really a loving, respectful person. If he were just in a relationship with someone who accepted him, you know, like,
right.
He would just chill out. But so we don't, so like, we can see that this isn't a deeply ingrained, you know, toxic masculine thing that Michael is into. It's more of a, this is what I think I'm supposed to say to be a man.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so he's also confused about like what it is to be a man and be a woman and how those all work together, you know, because it is so fluid and it is so just be a good person. And I think that Michael is toying with that because maybe he had a hard time being seen as a masculine person himself, even though he relate, you know, like he feels like he should be, but he's not seen that way. So he like thinks he needs to display all of these toxic characteristics in order to feel like he fits in. I don't know. There's lots of things, lots of levels to this.
Yeah, but I think that you've done a good job of sort of hitting that nail on the head. I think that's very accurate. The other thing that's going on, you know, we talked about how Pam is sort of getting talked up by Jan. She shares that news with Jim, and Jim is super supportive of it, super sweet, just like immediately supportive. Mm-hmm. And then poor Pam talks to Roy about it, and Roy does the things that he always does and shuts her down. And when I was watching this, mm-hmm. I had had a couple beers. And when I've had a couple beers, I am a little bit, my emotions are closer to the surface. I had to look away at the part where she is talking into the camera and then like stops and starts crying. Cause I could not watch it. I got teary eyed looking away from it. I knew if I watched it, I was going to like start bawling because it's just so sad. She's so defeated in that moment and feels no support, and she deserves support. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, she's so vulnerable in that moment. And the realization of not being able to fulfill your dreams is so crushing. Like, even though she was just talking about this house, it really wasn't about the house. And this is one of those moments where the confessionals feel really personal. And you almost wish that they shut off the cameras, you know, in those situations.
Yes.
But yet it does show so much raw emotion that I think a lot of us have felt in those situations. Like, I've, of course, like, I'm trying to think of how to word this, but everyone has kind of had one of those moments where a tiny thing happens, but yet it is more of a representation of the bigger things in your life that then it boils up more emotion than you're expecting from this little thing because you're holding on to all of the big things. And that's where Pam is coming from. She, all the emotion of not being able to live in this dream house that she's been dreaming about since she was a teenager or a child. And yet it's more of she's not going to have the life that she thought she had. And that's why her and Jim end up fighting in the middle of this episode a bit, because he brings up, like, what, are you going to be a receptionist for the rest of your life or something like that? And it's the truth that sometimes hurts the most and makes us the most defensive to people who give us the truth, right? Especially when it's not, it's truth we're not ready to face.
Yes.
And you get all angry and defensive at that. And I remember getting mad at my parents for stuff like that. Like, they would be like, well, why don't, you know, they'd be pushing me towards something and I would just be so against it and angry at them for pushing me towards it. And then once I cooled down a little bit, it was like, oh, you were right. Like, I'm glad you pushed me, even though it made me way too emotional when you did, it worked out better. And I think that that's where Pam is right now. You know, she got pushed over the edge with that talk with Jim over, is this really where you want your life to be going? And she was like, I'm fine with my choices. And she was getting all defensive. Ugh. And then now she's breaking down because she's realizing that, like, this isn't where I want my life to be going. Ugh, I know. It's so hard.
It is. Ugh. So while that horrible sadness is going on, Michael is trying to repair bonds.
They do. They juxtapose the really emotional stuff with some really funny stuff in this show, and it helps, it gives you an up and down emotional situation in yourself, but they do it really well. So yeah, what's Michael doing down there in the warehouse still?
You know, you just gotta hand out some pizza is what you gotta do, because pizza,
well, everyone loves pizza.
Yeah, pizza is the great equalizer. White people love pizza, black people love, do black people love pizza? Oh, wait, this is where I would know and you wouldn't. You covered the earlier question about cycles. I'll cover the people of color questions.
Yeah. So, do you like pizza?
I do like pizza.
Who doesn't like pizza?
You know, being gluten-free makes it kind of difficult to... Being gluten intolerant makes it difficult, but I...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, celiacs or lactose intolerant people, they don't like pizza.
I am both lactose intolerant and gluten intolerant, but I still make pizza work. I just have to use lactose-free cheese, and I have to use gluten-free crust. And by golly, I just had pizza yesterday, and it was delicious.
Hey, now.
Everybody likes pizza. Well, most people like pizza. Anyway, point is, that's how
everyone liked pizza.
Everyone did like pizza in that moment. My favorite part is not that, though. It's Michael. Happy New Year, Daryl! As he makes the foam packing peanuts go everywhere. Ugh. Like it's the ball dropping in New York. It's fantastic. And Daryl's like really upset about it.
Yeah, it's not over.
It's not over.
Throughout this episode, I do want to touch on very quickly, because it was quick in the episode too, but we get a lot of the auxiliary characters. Yeah, that's who they are. They get sprinkled in and we get a little bit more information about them. We get to see Angela judging everybody, thinking everybody is a whore for what they're wearing, even though they're totally normal clothes. They're just not up to Angela's standards. We also see her criticizing Phyllis, and we see Phyllis loving girl talk, and we see Meredith thinking she's in an AA meeting. So we get and we see Kelly being a little bit more chatty, like we met her in the previous episodes. And I really like that. I like that we're getting a little bit more of each of the characters sprinkled in here and there. We get to see Kevin, who... like I brought up before, has Jim's back because Roy confronts Jim in this episode about his feelings about Pam. But Roy seems to think that it was a long time ago and that he's cool with it. So we didn't have Kevin. He didn't need to step in.
He didn't have to step in. Yeah.
Thank goodness. He was sweating it out there, though. He thought he was going to have to.
I was getting nervous. I was sweating, but everything was fine.
Yeah, I like all the little spotlights of the various other characters throughout this episode, and because we see them here and there in the previous episodes mulling around the office and throwing in lines, but I feel like this episode really showed the ensemble nature of a lot of things, because we have these two major groups that we're focusing on.
And you talked about sort of the moments that people got to have with the camera. Yeah, that's all over the place, which is good.
Yeah, Pam's confessional next to the ladies' room, which I like that because the conference room is taken. So she's over there. It's right next to, like, it says women, like right next to the sign.
Yes.
So that's like a nice little...
like a wink.
Another bullet point. Yeah, a little wink to the episode. There was also this moment where we don't often see cuts like this done in the editing, But Pam is in her confessional and she's discussing how she doesn't really fit in with a lot of the ladies in the office. And I was thinking about that and I was like, yeah, that's almost none of the women fit in with each other. And really, a lot of the men don't fit in with each other either. Everyone's kind of their own individual person and no one's like an obvious clicky relationship together. Besides maybe like the romances going on.
Yeah.
And that's what comes up, right? Like Pam is kind of contemplating on who she gets along with best in the office. And then they do a cut to downstairs where Roy is saying, Jim. Halpert. And we don't really get those cuts. I thought that was a little bit out of place.
It did feel weird. Yeah, it felt weird. It felt like it was very deliberate, very pointed out.
I don't think I liked it.
I didn't either. And like, I remembered in my head that Jim was going to be said, but I didn't remember that that's how it was going to be done. And so when that was done, I was like, whoa, that was weird.
Yeah. I almost wish they would have left it silent with her thinking about it, or maybe like have a different facial expression. Yeah, we all knew. And then, you know, it could be followed up with that same scene, but we didn't need Roy to be like, Jim Halpert. I don't know. It just felt a little bit too deliberate. I think this is one of the first times that they did something in the editing that I'm like, I don't really feel it. It didn't flow like other things have flowed before.
Let's maybe not do that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was in the same voice.
Yeah, that's exactly
episodes normally
right.
are.
Yeah, it didn't feel authentic.
No, it didn't. I have one tiny bit of trivia because I love repeat prop situations. The blow up doll that's downstairs in the warehouse is a it's brought back from the sexual harassment episodes. I love that they have it down there and they put Michael's face on it. But, you know, which is it's probably in a real workplace uncool, but in this moment in the office, it was pretty funny. So I
And plus, like, that is sexual harassment to put his face on a blow up doll.
Yes.
So the episode was called Sexual Harassment. It comes back in this episode and it's sexual harassment itself. Very clever.
So I do like when props find their way around the office because that's just like a real workplace, right? Like something comes in and then it like ends up in some weird spot and everyone's like, how the heck did this get here? Because years go by and you're like, I don't know where that came from. It's just always been here.
Yeah. it's just the ceramic elephant that sits in the corner. Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows. The giant ceramic white dog.
Yes. Oh my. I think that about covers it though. I think it's time to hand out the Dundee, Tiff.
I picked the Dundee for this week. And this week's Dundee is the Suggestion Box Award. And it goes to iTunes reviewer JG_78, who made the excellent Suggestion Box suggestion over in our iTunes reviews that we should add some sound bites and not be afraid of spoilers.
Okay.
And I kind of really like that feedback. And I think that this person is right and that we shouldn't be too afraid of spoilers. We're not going to go heavy on the spoilers or anything, but I think that referencing a couple future episodes here and there, we shouldn't be too afraid for it because as we're seeing, almost all of our listeners are super fans of the show. Or if they're watching for the first time, everyone keeps cheating and going ahead.
So. And the tie-ins like make they add to the discussion. And they're like you said, we're not going to go heavy on like, you know, this big reveal that, I don't know, Dwight and Bob Vance are cousins or something like that. Like that's no, that's not the case.
So the people who are out there being patient and watching along with us for the very first time, any reference that we make to future episodes will not be a spoiler in sense that it's going to like be a big reveal or anything. It might just be a little bit nod that then you can think back of, oh yeah, they talked about that.
Yeah.
So we'll keep it cool. And I also like the idea of dropping in some sounds here and there and you get to hear the characters' voices on their own, some of our favorite funny lines that they have said. So again, not going to be a heavy thing, but here and there, I think it's going to make our show better. So I just want to say thank you so much for JG_78 who made these great suggestions.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Get on up here and accept your Dundee.
Woo!
Yay! So at least we can take suggestions, unlike Michael Scott.
Hold on, I've got one in here that says, what should we do to prepare for Y2K?
I have another one in here that said, what are you going to do about your BO? Wait, what was it?
You should do something about your BO.
Oh, yeah, that's not quite a suggestion.
Thank you so much for your suggestions. If any of you have suggestions that you want to leave us, please do go ahead and leave a rating in Apple Podcasts. You can also leave a review. Thank you so much for those of you who follow us and send us awesome tweets. You can follow us at tall_beats over on Twitter. And we do keep an eye on those mentions and the direct messages there. If you'd like a more personal experience, you could become a member of the Incomparable. And by doing so, you get access to a special members only Slack. And we have a channel completely devoted to Somehow I Manage. Tiff just popped in a couple, like last week and struck up a new conversation. We got to have some fun talking about Dundies. And turns out there is a place where you can order Dundies online. Oh my gosh, how cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So you definitely don't want to miss out on the conversation that's happening there. It's good fun. And like I said, by becoming a member and supporting this show, you will get access to that. I think that is all the places where you can follow us and subscribe and rate and do all those things. Thanks so much for listening. And we will see you back in the office next week.
All right. I got to get back to my meeting.
Oh, yes. Bullfighting and open shirts. Thank you.